2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our native language?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, who's pouring out, we remember today. Father, we pray that he would help us to understand your word and to apply it in our lives so that we might be increasingly fruitful for your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, those who are regular in St. Stephen's will recognize that when the Quality Street box comes out, it usually means that I've got questions that I'm asking. And the main question that I'm asking is, what happened? What happened? Have a look at Acts chapter 2, and I'm looking particularly at verse 2. What happened? I've got Snickers bars. It isn't actually Quality Street. It's little mini Snickers bars in here. Who has got... What happened? You can be young or old. Go for it. Yeah. Yeah, just what actually happened first of all. What did they notice first of all in verse 2? You're absolutely right. You're good, but you're jumping to the end of the story. What happened first?
A violent wind rushed through the house.
Was it a violent wind that rushed through the house?
It's a tongue of fire.
Well, both and. But was it a violent wind that rushed through... Were they blown away? Who have we got? We've got lots of hands up over here, okay. Was it a violent wind that came through the house? Well, we're still on the wind at the beginning.
It filled the whole...
Was it a wind, though?
Yeah.
Was it? You can have a Snickers bar anyway. Was it a wind?
Yeah.
It was a sound like a wind. So it wasn't... We're not told that suddenly, you know, all their hats were blown off or something. It was just... It was a sound like a wind. It was something spiritual that was going on. We're told specifically it's come from heaven. And Luke is trying to find the language to explain this spiritual event in language that we would understand. And it was just the whole house was filled with the noise, like the noise of a wind. It wasn't that the wind was blowing, it's just that it sounded like that. And then what happened? What did they see? So that was what they heard. What did they see? Go for it, Victor. What did they see? Oh, they saw it on an iPhone, whatever it was that they saw it.
They saw it, what looked like tongues of fire, which...
Okay, brilliant. They saw what looked like tongues of fire. So again, yes, the idea is that he was trying to explain what was happening. So there was a particular experience that was going on. They heard this noise and they saw tongues of flame. And it's often the case sometimes, isn't it, when we're trying with our own language to try to explain something spiritual, we can't do it. And so here is Luke really trying to explain this experience that was happening. And the effect of it, we get in verse 4, because we're told that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the consequence of being filled is that they were empowered to speak That's what they were doing. Look again at verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. And the thing which was extraordinary that particular day was that these people who were from Galilee, which we'll remember is way up in the north, and it was just like someone from Yorkshire, and he began to speak in brilliant Latin, for example. When nobody who was from Galilee, which was, the Jewish people, they were very snobbish, rather like Londoners, and were very dismissive of people from up north. Brian will tell you that we're very dismissive of people who come from up north because we think they're ignorant and not properly educated and all that sort of stuff. It was exactly the same in Israel. How can anybody from Galilee be able to speak all these languages? It was a ministry of the Holy Spirit for that particular day to make people say something extraordinary is going on. So there was a spiritual experience which was being manifested in the physical, and the result was that they were enabled to do something. They were empowered to do something. And if you look on to verse 11, you'll find what it is that they were empowered to do. I didn't make Brian read about all the different names of where other people had come from, but if you look on to what verse 11, who can tell me what they were doing, the disciples? Anne, are you going to tell us what they were doing? And welcome back. How lovely to see you. What were they doing in verse 11? What were the apostles doing?
Waiting.
Well, yeah, they were waiting, but what are we told they were doing in verse 11? Yes,
Evangelizing, talking about goods.
Well, what exact? Which deeds? What does it say? You've already had your thing. God's deeds of power. So, in other words, they're out saying, it's amazing what God has done. It's so exciting. And they're saying it in, I mean, how many different language groups have we got? How many people speak another language apart from English? Just put your hand up if you speak another language, particularly if it's your first language and apart from English. Well, you've just got, well, you know, even if you, almost your first language, just it's worth sort of being aware of how strange that day would have been. That suddenly these people who were completely uneducated, hadn't been to university, that sort of thing, they'd come and they're out on the streets talking in the first language, in the mother tongue of these people who'd come from all over the world to visit Jerusalem for the festival. And they're speaking about the wonderful deeds of God. In particular, and we get this in the rest of the story in Acts chapter 2, they're talking about Jesus. And in essence, they're saying three things. Jesus is somebody that God sent. And you guys killed him, or the leaders did. God raised him. We are witnesses. You killed him. God raised him. We are witnesses. In essence, that's all that Acts the Apostles says. God sent Jesus. You killed him. God raised him. We are witnesses. Speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit about Jesus. So what we get as an understanding is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that it's an experience when he comes. Something happens. And the effect of it is to empower people to be able to speak about Jesus and tell others the great good news about Jesus. And in essence, that is still precisely what the Holy Spirit is doing today. He helps us to understand who Jesus is, because he always points towards Jesus. And he helps us to understand what Jesus has done. His death on the cross enables us to be completely forgiven for the stuff that we've done wrong. So we no longer need to feel guilty. We no longer need to feel distanced from God. We can be absolutely back in the family with God the moment we come and allow Jesus to wash us in his blood and be forgiven and cleansed. And then the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to tell others. I heard of a lovely story of somebody who was thinking seriously about becoming a Christian. And the one thing that put him off from having to becoming a Christian is that he didn't want to have to tell anybody else that he was a Christian. He didn't want to be labeled as a Christian, and he certainly didn't want to have to tell his family that he was a Christian. And he kept on thinking, I want to become, and then he couldn't because he was frightened about having to tell anybody else. And this went on for ages. And he went to see a very old guy who'd been a Christian for a very long time. And the old boy said, you don't have to tell anybody else if you don't want to. It's just between you and Christ. go home and go back to your bedroom and just quietly say a prayer, inviting the Lord Jesus into your life. And so he said, "Hey, sure, is that all? That's all you need to do. Just go." So up he went back home, went back to his room, prayed a prayer of commitment to Christ. And then he was so excited, he ran down and told the whole of the rest of his family, "Do you know, you could become a Christian without having to tell anybody about it at all." It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to be able to tell others about Jesus. And in these uncertain times, which we are reminded of with the events of last night, but actually, if we think about it for a moment, none of us know what the future holds. If people do not know who Jesus is and have not turned to him in repentance and faith, they are destined for hell. It's not politically correct to say so, but it is what the Bible teaches. How are people going to hear unless they see Christians and are attracted to the different lifestyle that Christians have in a time when many feel restless and purposeless and without direction and meaning? And how are they going to know unless someone tells them? That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to live for Christ, to live Christianly, and then to be able to tell others. Now, there are lots of tools and things that can help, lots of training courses and other things, books and stuff that we can read that can help us. But in essence, the main way that Connie, wherever it is that Connie has now disappeared to, will hear and know about Jesus is by watching Alex and Flo and her sponsors and her godparents. The main way that we learn is by watching other people. So living godly lives is important, but people are not going to be able to understand why we're living differently unless we do put it into words to explain who Jesus is, which is exactly what Peter is doing in the rest of chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit comes on people, and it's a very powerful experience, and the effect is that we are able to speak of Jesus and live for Jesus more effectively. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we ask that you would please help us so that we are able to come to Christ ourselves. We pray, Father, that we might more and more understand who Jesus is and what he has done. But we pray today, as we remember the first outpouring of your Holy Spirit on all people who believed, different from the Old Testament. Father, as we remember that event, please allow us to welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Allow him to transform us, to have an effect on our lives, to drive out a fear perhaps of speaking to others about Jesus, to transform us and change us so that we live for Jesus, so that we're able to tell others, so that we have the joy of being with many, many others whom we love in heaven and not have the sadness of them not being with us. Lord, please help us in this. And we ask that you would use us for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.